It's episode 2 of This Week on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. If you missed part 1, Todd Bowles was our special guest. Part 1 of our 3-part long interview with him. Fantastic stuff. You can find it at joebucksfan.com or out on the various podcast platforms. And all the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. GM Sean Sullivan is ready to help you personally. Get to BillCurryFord.com. See the fantastic discounts, the nationwide lifetime warranty, BillCurryFord.com.
I already found a bagel place. It's 3 blocks from the hotel. Bagel, I already got it targeted. I know the hours. I know the address.
When do you pull up the
menu? And I know the menu.
Ira, for your listeners and for JoeBucksFan.com readers, there is $500 off any services from Florida's Elite Restoration if they have a disaster in their home or at their business. But that's only if they use Florida's Elite Restoration services after their free assessment, after they consult with the experts there at Florida's Elite Restoration, whether it be a fire or mold or flood in their home. So what a great opportunity to knock some money off your deductible if you're using insurance, or just if you're paying cash for some sort of mold remediation or a cleanup of a situation, you'll get $500 back. Just mention it before you use Florida's Elite Restoration. If you buy their services, and owner Josh Martin, 14 years as an insurance adjuster in the industry, he knows all sides of it. Just let them know that you heard it from Ira and from Joe Bucks Fan, and they're going to take care of us Bucks fans out there who have a problem in their home this summer. This is the season for it.
What's the number one thing you're looking for when you're going to make a call about possible mold, possible water damage? You're looking for honesty. That's what you're looking for. And you're going to get that from Josh Martin. And remember, above all, the consultation is free. No obligation. Let them come out. You've got Josh Martin and his people. He's hired a great staff, and you're going to get $500 off any project that ensues. Florida's Elite Restoration should be your first phone call before your insurance company. First call.
Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. We're here at One Buck Palace, Ira. They haven't kicked us out yet. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper is here, and it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford. BillCurryFord.com is where you start shopping for any vehicle. Doesn't matter if it's not a Ford. They've got a fantastic pre-owned selection, lifetime warranty nationwide on new and used vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, we heard Tom Brady speak today. The Sage got the vice going. He squeezed Tom Brady, and you did a good job with it, Ira. I give you an A-. Can't give you an A. Not going to happen, Ira. We heard from Logan Hall, wrapped up mandatory minicamp. And, of course, we got a little bit more from Todd Bowles today, Sage. And fans can go back to listen to the first part of our interview with him. But, Ira, how are you?
Lee, I got to come clean on this podcast. I have to come clean.
You always come clean. What are you talking about?
I have an admission, which is a little surprising even to myself. I've been a little nervous the last few days.
I've
been a little nervous, and I'll tell you why. And I can't believe it after all these years. And I mean 46 years in this business. Lee, I've dealt with Ray Perkins. I've dealt with Bill Parcells. I've dealt with Reggie Jackson going into the Bronx Zoo in the late 70s with Billy Martin. I've dealt with Warren Sapp, Lee. I've asked him the questions. But I knew Tom Brady was coming out on Thursday. Haven't talked to him since the Rams game. That's a long time. And I'm not going to talk to him again for another 6 or 7 weeks. Thursday was the day to ask Tom Brady a couple of tough questions.
Are you feeling lonely?
And Lee, I was a little nervous about how to phrase the questions, because that matters. It matters in what kind of answer you're going to get. So I asked my questions, Lee, and I asked them early because I figured if he danced around them, some people would ask follow-ups. And I asked him about his relationship with Arians, and I was a little surprised because his answer was expansive and pretty darn insightful. Then I asked him about the Dolphins, and I'm still waiting for an answer. He danced around it. He did a nice jig. I don't know if it was a waltz or he did the twist, whatever you want to call it, Lee. But, Lee, you were in the room. I asked what I needed to ask, and I have no regrets.
That's what a press conference is for.
Now, Buck fans might want to hear more about his golf game with Aaron Rodgers, but that's not where my head is at.
You know, and I agree. I know you and I go around, so-and-so's got to talk. No, they don't. But if they're going to talk, and those are legitimate questions, I guarantee you, you go to any national sports site, that story about your questions is going to be up there. And Brady did answer without answering. He did not deny.
On the Dolphin question.
Yeah. He did not deny. You know, he said, well, I've talked to a lot of people the last 3 or 4 years. Well, that's certainly not denial that you were in negotiations even a little bit with the Dolphins or one of your people were. I thought, surprisingly and refreshingly, he was direct about your Aaron's question. The word zero to me means zero. As you were quoted by Peter King about a couple of years ago, that's a firm answer. There's zero issues with Arians. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but he did use the word zero. And people didn't want to hear the answers to those questions. I have to question their fandom, their loyalty to the Bucks. You don't care that the best quarterback of all time wanted to get the hell out of here and go to the Dolphins? Well, come on.
Yeah. You know, Steve, you heard me on the Arians question following up saying basically those reports, whether they're true or not, did not paint you in a flattering light. I said that to Brady, and I don't think anybody can deny that. Steve, there's not a much worse charge than a player has run off as head coach. That's a tough charge. That's a tough allegation, Steve.
Quitting's worse.
That's why, yeah, quitting is worse. The Antonio Brown situation.
Oh, yeah.
and we didn't ask Brady about Antonio Brown. There's no reason to. But, Steve, the timing, I don't want to ask on the first day of training camp because then you're in a whole new mindset. It's a whole new season. Today was the day, Steve. And I did what I did.
Let me dive deeper, Ira, because maybe I wasn't paying attention, but what were you nervous about? This is what you said you were nervous.
The way to phrase the question. I knew I was going to ask it, but the way to phrase it, you know, I didn't want to be confrontational because sometimes that affects the answer where somebody gets his back up. I didn't want to get into a back and forth with Tom Brady. I don't want to be the story.
How you phrase a question can determine how the interviewee responds. And it's not necessarily you're framing a question or you're trying to frame an answer. You could ask a question and it would come across, the guy would be absolutely offended and all but tell you to go to hell and walk off.
And they shut down. They shut down, Steve. They shut down. And Steve, you were sitting right behind me and I know you were poised to do serious follow-ups, but I guess you felt there was no need to do so.
Yeah, look, we got the answer, which is, I like Bruce Arians, always have, always will, and from day one, that's part of why I came here. And you know, we talked to some people here, off the record, Ira, at One Buck Palace before we wrapped up here. They kind of laugh at this Brady stuff and the Arians stuff because it's just so foreign to them. Yet they understand that this is where media goes. And I thought it was interesting that Brady himself said, "Hey, you know, people are looking for clicks," which is an expression that I can't stand because it's very misguided and fans, a lot of them, don't really understand that certain things don't work that way. However, Brady said, looking for clicks and stories aren't always right, and that's today's society and that's how it is. I don't complete every pass, which I thought was an interesting analogy for him. You know, I'm not sure if he was saying that, hey, things are made up and I can't respond to everything. But in some ways, you know, you can respond to everything. You can do it in many different ways. You have an agent, you have a social media team, you could hire a PR person. You have, how many guys in the media would take Tom Brady's call if he said, "I want to get a message out there"?
Everybody.
So yeah, you can respond to a lot of things. And that's part of this Arians problem was that he chose not to respond to it. Like Lee said in past podcasts, he responded to Tristan Wirfs saying, "I don't have Tom, then give me his phone number."
2 hours later.
And, you know, meanwhile, as you said, puts you in a bad light.
Arians had no problem pissing on the story. Arians talked about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Brady could have responded.
Arians didn't have a problem pissing on anything.
Brady could have responded with a photo. He could have had Giselle respond saying, "This is crazy. Tom loves Bruce Arians so much. Our family's hurt by this." He could have picked 27 ways to respond without him responding. So to tie that up in a bow, Ira, what did you think of Brady talking about the media there?
I think a lot of what he said was true. And we're part of the media, Lee. We know how it works. And from his remarks, so does he. He knows how the media works.
Yeah, Brady's sharp.
Lee, and the story doesn't exist in a vacuum in the way things are now, where it was 20 years ago, Lee. It gets picked up by all these other sites who do no more research into what the story is saying. They just repeat it. Sometimes they credit the originator. Sometimes they don't. But, Lee, it grows and grows and grows. There's no stopping it because they're so desperate for content, these sites. And Joe Buck's fan is not like that. Joe Buck's fan
sure
is not
are.
Like that.
Of course we are, Ira. If somebody says it and it's interesting, we roll with it.
But we do research,
you,
too.
You roll with it, but you put your spin on it. And you either say it's got some credibility or it doesn't. You're not just blindly repeating things.
Correct.
Thank you.
By the way, Steve, one thing I thought was interesting, one of Brady's answers, which wasn't about the Dolphins or Arians, but Brady's a guy, and there's a lot of people like this, a lot of coaches like this, Belichick. I think maybe you learned it from Belichick.
Oh, I'm sure.
Lee, no matter who the Bucs are playing the next week, it could be the Texans. They got a really good defense. It's going to be hard. I mean, Brady's part of it. That's what he does. I mean, not every coach does that. Not every player does that. But Brady does that. And Belichick is classic for that. Oh, we're in for it. They're 4-8, Bill. What are you talking about? Oh, no, they got some really good players. But Brady talked, Lee, about the challenge. And I don't know if he mentioned the word schedule, but it was clear that he was talking about the teams that are on there, the quarterbacks that this team's going to be facing. And I don't think it was all pablum, the way Brady was talking about the challenge of the 2022 Bucks and how they have to be at their best. I think this in this particular circumstance, I think Brady was legitimate in what he was talking about.
He could be, but think about the 24-hour dynamics. 24 hours prior to Brady, you know, oh my gosh, the schedule. He had the best receiver in Bucks history, probably a Hall of Famer. He summed up the schedule in just short words. I don't care about the schedule.
Yeah, I don't care. Two different approaches, Steve. That's Evans. That's why I love Evans. Because he don't care. You know, we hate the Saints. They hate us. He don't care. But, you know, in terms of that challenge, and, you know, Brady's thinking about this could be his last year. He's got to be thinking about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's definitive about it, but he's thinking about it. I thought he spoke from the heart in that regard, Steve.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, we've heard before that, oh, Brady doesn't want to have a farewell
yeah,
tour, yeah, and, yeah. And but he sort of gave a soft sell on this is my farewell tour, or it might be. He sort of was a little bit heavier in that realm, but he didn't, you know. He also said I'm back, and so you know they talked about how difficult the decision will be. This is going to be unfortunately a story. You know, once November rolls around, is this Tom Brady's final? This is it? This that? And is he going to kill the story? Is he not? And it goes back to his understanding of the media because he's got a lot of work ahead of him if he wants to diffuse all the stuff that's coming about, oh, Brady's already decided or he's not coming back, or look how he looked at the scoreboard when they went to Pittsburgh and he looked around.
This will be my last time at Heinz Field.
It's coming, and I hope he gets some good guidance because let's face it, you guys said he knows the media. Lee said he's sharp. He botched his own retirement.
And
he botched it.
He did botch it. And, Steve, part of it is he's not under contract for next season. That's a big part of it.
Correct. So he's got a lot of work ahead of him on that. Hopefully he gets some help. That schedule, of course, Brady's dialed into it. Something that gets him hyped up. I would bet that Brady saw that schedule and just it got his whole mindset going.
Look at these quarterbacks we're playing.
This is my toughest schedule in the history of my NFL career.
I'm playing the young quarterbacks. Yeah. I like that.
And I'm going out on top with the hardest schedule anybody's ever seen. And look at all these Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And so who knows? But, you know, and Mike Evans, like Lee said, I don't care.
Steve, you asked him about Russell Gage. You could have asked him about anything. You asked him about Russell Gage in particular. What did you think of his response?
I believe, I don't have the quote in front of me, I believe he said he has to have a great year.
I think he did.
I thought he said that. That was the message, and he talked about Gage needing to have a lot to work to do in the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Now, that's the 6 weeks between early June and training camp. So that was telling, I thought. What do you think of that, Lee?
Very telling. You know, when he said, you know, he has a lot of work to do. It's very blunt. And so he has, obviously, very high expectations of Gage. Can he meet those expectations? You know, he's hobbled. That doesn't help him out. Earlier this week, Bowles was asked, do you have a time frame when Gage is going to be back on the field? He said, no. Uh-oh.
You know what he was a little noncommittal about? And I was a little disappointed. I expected he got the Gronk question, which he's going to get. Can you update us on, you know, your meter on Gronk coming back? And Steve, I didn't expect him to say, oh, he's definitely coming back. But I expected maybe a little smile at the end of his answer, you know, which would have been indicative of something. I didn't see it, Lee. Now, I'm not saying that Gronk's not coming back, but I didn't take anything from what Brady said about Gronkowski as a new reason, a new wrinkle to be overconfident that he's coming back.
It was a classic non-answer by Brady in my eyes. Classic.
Didn't you expect a little smile, though, maybe at the end? A smile that, like, I got this, we got this.
Well, I didn't study him that deeply. I know what you're talking about, but I expected a non-answer, and that's exactly
and
what
got
I got.
It.
All right, Ira, so that begs the question. You've talked about your Gronk meter in the past podcasts, and anybody can listen to our podcasts at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, Google Podcasts, and the last podcast, of course, is part one of Todd Bowles, the fantastic interview we were able to get here at One Buck Palace. Sage, previously you've had your Gronk meter at 92%. You've had it at 99% with him coming back. So where is it now?
90. It's dropped. It's dropped a little. Ultimately, I think he wants one more rodeo with Brady. Lee, let's be brutally honest. Blaine Gabbert's here. Gronk's gone. Blaine Gabbert's here. Gronk's playing for somebody else. I mean, that's just the way I look at it.
Oh, as a starter. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. Okay. Gronk's not here if Brady's not. There's no chance. unless they have another big-name quarterback.
You and Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah. You know, and we'll get into that down the line. But you know what I mean by that, Steve. I think ultimately the Brady influence on Gronkowski, and we know how persuasive Brady can be when the chips are down. Come on, we need you. And I think it's going to work, Steve, with Gronkowski. But I'll tell you what, Gronkowski has a lot of options at his disposal, no question.
Oh, he does. Now, I don't know if it's the lighting in here or the angle I'm sitting at, but it looks like you're growing your mustache back.
Don't even go there, Lee. Don't even go there. That was a classic move by you. I got some responses. One guy said it was a porn mustache. I didn't need that. But, Steve, let's move on.
Recover
the lighting. Now I'm worried about the lighting in here.
Hey, so when Ira said we'll talk about that with Blaine Gabbert later on, Ira's regular listeners of Ira, he know Blaine Gabbert's been in his craw for years now. And it had to happen.
Not craw, craw.
And we'll hear it maybe probably next week. Ira had to let loose his frustration about Blaine Gabbert to Todd Bowles himself. So we'll get to hear that, which was just a classic. Unfortunately, the fans won't be able to see Bowles' face, but that was absolutely a classic. Ira, Logan Hall got up there, and I asked Logan Hall if he is ready or learning or wants to, and just everything he's experienced so far, does he think he's going to rush off the edge? And we talked about this in a previous podcast,
yes.
And Hall smiled. He gave a big grin. Unlike Tom Brady, he gave a big grin, said that he'd like to rush off the edge, and he'd love that challenge, and he thinks he could do it. And but he was not sure what he'll do, and he, you know, not learning that yet, but he wants to do it. If he proves to be all that with what they think he is physically, they'd be crazy not to at least give him a look. Let's see what the guy can do. Because edge rusher, look, is the most valuable position in this league on defense. And you got to give the guy at least a little bit of a look, because you'd be an idiot to if 2 years later you realize he could edge rush. And, oh, man, maybe we should have given him a shot when Tom Brady was still here.
You're absolutely right, Steve. And, Lee, if he proves to have the athleticism that we've heard a little bit that he boasts and maybe is a little more versatile than we think. And when they drafted him, they didn't have Akeem Hicks. And now they have Akeem mm-hmm. Hicks. Mm-hmm. Things change, Lee. And if he doesn't beat out Joe Tryon as an edge rusher, Lee, and he's trying to get on the field. Lee, what's wrong with having him have experience at that position in training camp? And suppose Joe Tryon's out for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
It's all good. It's all good if Logan Hall gets some opportunities to play more than one position for this football team.
Well, this kind of builds up an answer that he gave today. I think the question was, you know, how many sacks are you looking for? Maybe you're wrong.
Oh, that's a Shaq Barrett question. Now, come on.
Well, that might be a Shaq Barrett question, but he gave a Steve Dumig answer. What I mean by that is Steve Dumig, you know, loved the gamble. And I would see him in person. People would ask him, like, you know, how much do you bet on the Lightning or whatever? And he would always say, I bet on value. He wasn't worried about teams. He's worried about point spreads and things like that. I bet on value. And so Logan Hall, he was talking about his goal, initially his goal was 6.5 sacks. That's changed. Now his goal is, his words, not mine, to add value to the team. I like that answer.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, it's like if you need me to just stuff the run, I want to do that the best I can be. You want me to rush the passer? I'll try to get 6.5 sacks from the inside, which would be hell of a good for a rookie to do that from the inside. That's excellent. So I like that answer. I want to add value to the team.
He's going to get on the field, Steve, because I don't think it's shocking. And, of course, Todd Bowles is not the only coach that ever said this, Steve. But the idea is to have a lot of depth on the defensive line, Steve. That's what every team wants. Steve, remember the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl? It was 2017 or something like that.
Sure.
That was one of their keys, is they had like 7 or 8 defensive linemen.
That's true.
And remember how they used to run those guys through and keep everybody fresh? That's what Bowles wants to do.
And we grabbed 2 of them in free agency, and what happened? Nothing.
Nothing.
Vinny Curry, and who's the other guy?
Bo Allen.
Yeah, you're right, Steve. You're right.
No, I understand, Ira. And, I believe Lee Hall was talking about personal goals, and he said that 6.5 sack line, which was a strange number. And then I think that's what he said
So he's been thinking about it.
Well, he had the 6.5 in college, he said.
Okay.
And he thinks now it's realistically attainable with the Bucks, and yeah, that would be great. So it's an interesting number. You don't really think of guys coming out.
6.5.
Yeah, so I'm a 6.5 sack guy.
You think Hicks can get 7, Lee? 7, 7, 7, or 8? You think?
No. There's one word that circles over Hicks' head, no matter what you ask about him, no matter what.
Health?
Health. It's all about health. If he's healthy, and Bowles was talking about how he wants to get him on the field.
Steve, you don't think that's reasonable? 7? He had it for the Chicago.
Yeah, it's been a while that he's had that for Chicago. Yeah. I mean, Vita Vea isn't a 7-sack guy.
No, he's not.
Look, it's all about how many you get and the pressure and all that stuff. So,
how do you use Hicks?
I think the Bucs can reasonably be a top 5 team in sacks. Where that comes from, I don't know, especially as much as his team blitzes, Ira. It's hard to put numbers on guys other than Shaq Barrett, who's got to be a double-digit guy for them to really achieve what they need to achieve. Ira, you drive a 2020 cherry red Ford Escape. You love that thing. You leased it, and then you bought it. Yeah. It's from Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Why do you like that vehicle, Ira? Why do you still have it? And why do you love Bill Curry Ford?
Well, you love being high on the road, high on the hog. very, very easy to maneuver. The mileage is good. It's got all the bells and whistles. There's nothing I dislike about this Ford Escape. Love the look of it, the color. I see other Escapes on the road, Steve, from other models from other years. Ours looks the best. It's just the best model. We absolutely love this Ford Escape. And BillCurryFord.com. And by the way, I hear you gentlemen paid him a surprise call the other day, Steve. How's Sean Sullivan doing?
Yes, we wanted to take the Bill Curry Ford test, of course, like every Bucks fan can. We walked into the front door of Bill Curry Ford, and we demanded to speak to Sean Sullivan because he gives personal service to all Bucks fans a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. And Leah said, we also want to see Mel Kiper. And, of course, that was a nod to Sean, the host of the Best in Class podcast and the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. But get to Bill Curry Ford. Be like the sage. Be like me. Be like Lee. BillCurryFord.com.
And ask for the Ira Kaufman discount while you're doing it.
Ira, Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. But Lightning fans, Big Storm tap rooms are open with drink specials for every single game. Sound up until the game is over. Big Storm is a home for Lightning fans. Their Bay beer is fantastic with that big lightning bolt on it. It's Ira's favorite. The tap rooms are in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. I was just there the other night. Ira, gorgeous outdoor seating, plus the modern indoor tap room. Great sound. Fantastic. Live music there as well. You want to follow them at social media at Big Storm Clearwater to get the schedule. They've got music up in Pasco at the Odessa Tap Room as well. And, of course, watch the Lightning there and pick up all kinds of great beers. The Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA, is in most stores really everywhere. And you can find all the great Big Storm beers at BigStormBrewery.com. Tap Room's also in Orlando at the Amway Center and in Cape Coral. Big Storm Beer. We love Big Storm Beer. Sage, I got to say this because we talked about it so much and we've talked about his playing time. Vita Vea, looking at him at practice today, Lee and I, you were in the indoor facility as well, got a lot closer to the players today because of the proximity of where we get to sit versus outside where they, are farther away. And Vita Vea looks like maybe he's put on 15 pounds from last season. You know, it's hard to measure a guy.
Deliberately?
It's hard. I can't imagine deliberately when Casey Rogers was telling us weeks ago that he's got to maybe get in better condition to be ready to play longer. So anything
he's got 6 weeks to address that.
So that doesn't trouble you at all. Now, again, I'm eyeballing, and it's hard when a guy's that big to start putting numbers on it. But Lee, I don't think he looks smaller.
No.
He certainly looks bigger than last year, and I'm not sure that that's muscle.
You said the same thing about me when I, 2 weeks into the Jenny Craig diet, you said, Kaufman, you're expanding.
So you don't think that's a big deal?
I don't necessarily trust your glasses. Even if it is, he's got 6 or 7 weeks to address it and all of training camp.
6 weeks to lose 15 pounds?
Well, I could do it if I stop eating pizza. I'm not worried about Vita Vea.
All right.
This is a better team anytime he's on the field. This is a better football team. Maybe this will be the year that he plays more than, what was the number I gave him? 45%?
Yeah, it's in that ballpark.
It's 50, still driving you crazy.
55, 60. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. All right. Lee, Ira, I got to ask you for a prediction before we get out of here, because Ira, I think the narratives, I hate that word too, but the narratives around this team last year was, hey, they brought all the starters back, trying to run it back, all that stuff. Okay, so here we are this time, and I think some of the media coverage has gotten away from the fact that the Bucs are all in, and they're all in to win it right now. And we've talked about that in 2020. We talked about it in 2021. People don't talk about it as much now. They made the Hicks deal. Do you predict any interesting known quantity bodies showing up here in the next 6 weeks for the start of training camp? The Bucks go out and sign Justin Houston, or they do this and they start bringing in a couple of big name bodies to further push competition and to be more all in, especially as we sort of get a better sense that maybe it is Brady's last year.
My answer is no. I believe this will be the team that reports to camp. However, Lee, let me hasten to add, subject to change. And by that I mean 3 weeks into training camp, or maybe even later, maybe the week leading up to the regular season opener. Things can change in terms of health. Things can change in terms of performance in training camp with Bowles with that hawk eye looking over everybody, especially defensively. And I don't think they're going to make any kind of major move other than maybe signing Gronkowski before training camp, Lee. But I would not put it past them to making a move the week going into the regular season.
It depends what's going on with Russell Gage.
You are all over those wide receivers. You're all over.
Well, you know, it's a passing league and they're a passing offense.
And you remember what happened last year.
I'm not just tapping the brakes. I'm slamming on the brakes of this Jalen Darden hype and underwear football. Let's calm down, people. Let's calm down. Hey, I hope the guy goes out there this year and gets 1,500 yards receiving. Anybody that wears a Bucs uniform, I want those SOBs to ball out. But I'm a history guy. So people saying, oh, Jalen Darden's going to tear it up. You're basing this on what?
Who's that guy you always mention from some big
Kenny Bell?
School? Yeah, Kenny.
Kenny Bell and Tommy Streeter. Those guys, they look like Pro Bowl players in underwear football, and they were stiffs otherwise when the pads came on. So, I hope this hype is based on something that we're not seeing, you know, behind the scenes. I'm slamming the brakes.
But what's the line that Bowles always says and that Arians always said at this time of year? Let's wait till the pads come on. And you know what? They don't come on that often. That's part of the problem with the National Football League. The pads don't come on
Is there a new rule now that the pads aren't coming on for the fifth practice?
Oh, my God. They keep tweaking this thing.
But, Steve, am I wrong about that?
I don't know.
I thought there was a new rule that when I say new, I'm talking about a couple months ago, they had an adjustment to the CBA, which often happens, more so than we know.
I think Light's comfortable with this roster right now. Right now.
Well, he's comfortable with the roster, but again, what is Gage's health status? Right. Nobody knows that right now. They don't have any injury reports because they don't have to do that until the season gets going.
We'll know a little bit more about Godwin 6 weeks down the line.
I'm going to point my finger toward linebacker. We haven't heard a peep about Lavonte David, and who surprised everybody when he spoke earlier this spring about his foot not being there, and he'd hoped to get back to 100% months down the line.
I saw him standing there yesterday with a towel across his shoulder.
Yeah.
You know,
I have a feeling that that they're going to get a little nervous when it comes to that. And, yes, they've got K.J. Britt, but I'm going to predict two signings before training camp. They're going to use some of this money or create some money that they have.
You're saying inside linebacker.
I'm thinking maybe somebody to challenge KJ Britt and somebody who can also play special teams. Maybe they bring Minter back if they're a little more worried about Lavonte David. Not that he's a big name, but I think if there's a pass rusher that they can afford, if they can find a way to, we'll play fudge the numbers. Greenberg, do your job.
You're hung up on Justin Houston. I mean, I think he's done.
A name, but I wouldn't be surprised if they get an edge rusher in here to play with. And, it's Todd Bowles. He's still a defensive coach. At the core, he's still who he is. If he starts, I asked him what he was going to be doing the next 6 weeks. He didn't really say, but he said he has a lot of
work. He's going to look at film.
He said he's got a lot of work to do. I don't know. I think he may look at, hey, now I can call these shots here and say, I like this guy, that guy. And I don't know. But
you said something earlier. Know what you were talking about. Just to be clear, you weren't suggesting Lavonte David's not a big name. You were suggesting Kevin Minter's not
a big name. Yeah. No, Lavonte David's huge. Yeah, I think they'll get nervous.
Lee, quick question. Who's the kicker? Who's the punter for the 2022 Bucks?
I'd be shocked if the rookie's not the punter. I'd be shocked.
They just signed him. They just signed.
To me, that's not a news story. It's a news story if he doesn't sign.
Who's the kicker?
Unless Suckup sucks, it's going to be Suckup. It better be.
I think after talking to Todd Bowles, Iron, analyzing from afar here, I think that Bowles is a guy who puts more emphasis on preseason than other head coaches. Maybe that's his playing background. I don't know. It's not a question we got to ask him this time around, but
that's probably the way he made the team as an undrafted free agent.
Yeah. He had to show up when those lights came on in August, and maybe he leans that way. So with the kicker, I think he will bring it down to August. I think he will. He's got to see who's ready to win on opening day, because if Suckup's a little flat and you're gambling on a guy who's flat, I don't know if they'll do that given the schedule. It's hard to say.
But I understand Lee's point also about have somebody with a proven track record.
Yeah.
And Suckup has that.
I'm rooting for Ryan Suckup because I think every Bucks fan should be. Hopefully this guy gets back to his 2020 form, and away we go.
I'm trying to get back to my 2020 form, Steve.
I don't remember you being that sharp in 2020, Ira. I'm not sure about that. But maybe 2017. You were cooking in 2017.
The Bucks are done for 7 weeks. Are we done for 7 weeks, Steve? Absolutely
not. Ira, look, there's always something going on. You start crowing about this and that. There's always something going on. It's just a question of how you approach it and look at it, and that's what we do at JoeBucksFan.com. So, Ira, tell us what's coming up for you in your personal life in these next handful of days.
Well, I'm going to be taking a little vacation in New York. I'm a little nervous about it, even though, we still love New York. We don't want to live there, but we still love it. But the things that I'm hearing, I got New York 1 on my television, on my Spectrum, and we watch it, just to see what's going on in the Big Apple. And it always leads with crime, Steve. Always. This happened in Brooklyn. This happened in Staten Island. And mostly it happened on the subway in Manhattan. So I'm a little nervous about it, but we're going to make the best of it. We got a wedding. My brother's youngest son out on the island. I'm invited to the rehearsal dinner. This is going to be rough on the diet. It's going to be rough.
How many days in New York, Ira?
I believe a full week.
Forget the diet.
7 days. Lee, before we go to Ira, what's the over-under on slices of pizza that Ira will consume a week in New York City and a bagel over-under as well?
Oh, pizza, 4 slices. I don't think he goes nuts.
That's conservative. That's conservative.
Yeah, I that's my over and under. I don't think there's other foods to eat than just damn pizza. I know New York pizza, I get it. But, there's Cat's Deli. I mean, I can go on and on and on.
Bagel?
Oh, 6.
I already found a bagel place. It's 3 blocks from the hotel. Bagel? I already got it targeted. I know the hours. I know the address.
What do you pull up the
and Google, I know the menu.
You pull up the Google Maps and you start scanning?
Yeah, I got the Google Map, everything. Can you, walk it?
I'm the same way when I go to places.
All right, I'm putting the over-under on pizza at 6.5. And
what am I, Logan Hall? 6.5.
I'm going a clear and hard 6 on the bagel, and the tiebreaker will be 1 Bialy.
Outstanding, Isbitz. Talk to you next week.
Guys, I don't even remember life before Joe Bucks fan.